And welcome back to the Tuned In podcast. We're here, baby.
We're back, boys.
First week of NBA basketball.
That's
right. We've got Jazz games. Preseason's over. How do you feel?
Oh, man, I feel so good. Feels like it's been a long 2 weeks. We got so much stuff to talk about today. It's so exciting.
Did you, like, just feel the excitement from that first game?
Oh, man.
First time back in the Delta Center for real. I don't know. I was watching games around the NBA, some overtimes. It was just like, man, I've been missing this.
Yeah. The only thing I hate about this time of year is trying to decide what I want to watch more, like a Mammoth game, Jazz game, BYU game, college football. Oh, man, it's just such a fun time.
Well, we got an amazing episode prepared for you today, talking all about this first week of the Jazz season. We've got two games to go over against the Clippers and Kings. We've got our player of the week that will be crowned, the very first one. And we've also got NBA news with Rudy Gobert. And with our NBA award predictions, we'll predict MVP, Defensive Player, Rookie of the Year, and so forth. And then we'll catch you at the end with a little bit of local sports, talk about our Mammoth, who are on fire right now, as well as the Holy War.
Don't forget to check us out on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. You can find us at Tuned In Jazz. And this is episode 85 of Tuned In Jazz.
We're glad to be back. This is our third season
of
Jazz basketball. We've gotten through two long seasons, semi-tanking seasons.
Yeah.
But how do you feel going into season three?
Oh, man. Honestly, I didn't think there would be this much hype starting the season. I mean, like, Ace is not just Ace, but the whole team's kind of got us like feeling like some hope. We haven't felt that last couple of years, so it's exciting.
Yeah, I love it. I feel it, especially in that first game against the Clippers.
Totally.
Maybe we just go right into that.
Yeah, let's do.
So, I guess first game in the Delta Center, we had to get the dub,
keep
our home win percentage high. But what I was wondering about is, we didn't record last week, but we did send in our predictions, texted them. Me and you, we both had the Jazz losing to the Clippers by like a close margin.
A close game.
Like, close loss is what we were thinking.
Yeah.
What do you think happened to where the Jazz were able to win by, like, 21 or something like that?
Yeah.
We weren't expecting that.
Yeah, we were up by almost 30, 40 most of the game. We had, I think it was, like, 75 points at halftime or something. Like,
yeah. We shot 71% in halftime, which is, like, a record, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was, like, so hyped watching the game. I mean, first of all, the Jazz playing some defense, which is, we were the worst defensive team in basketball last year. A guy that I just thought played incredible was Walker Kessler, 22-9-4 with 6 steals / blocks, 4 of those being blocks, I think. If he plays with those numbers or even close, he's going to be an all-star this year, 100%.
Oh, so. Yeah. And if we win game, if we're a playoff team, yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
At least one guy would be an all-star if we make playoffs.
Totally.
I was a huge fan. I guess I'll echo what you said about Walker Kessler. Did you see Walker Kessler hit 2 3-pointers in the game? I saw David Locke was talking about that after the game, how they've been working with his shot to get his legs more into it. So maybe look for that, because it looked like they were butter, both of those 2 threes. And his free throw, he might be a little bit better. We'll see how it goes. He was 6 for 8 from the free throw line this game, which is pretty good.
Well, and we saw him hit one of those. I think we haven't talked about it, but we went to a preseason game too a couple weeks ago. Blazers, me and you.
Yeah.
And he hit one of those in that game too.
Right, from the top of the
key. I think we're seeing him do a lot more of this, like, top of the key, like Jokic style, where he can, like, pass from the top of the key or shoot. Or honestly, he doesn't even have to take those shots a lot, but as long as he can hit them enough where they have to respect him, that opens up, like, the entire floor.
Huge.
It's so cool.
And even, it's cool to see our boy Yusuf Nurkic. He's a guy that shoots threes quite a bit in the NBA.
Totally.
So I wonder if that's kind of helped Kessler kind of see how he does things.
Kevin Love's in there too.
Kevin Love shoots very well. Right. And so of course, Walker Kessler, he's probably best player this game, clearly. But I also really liked what I got from Keontae George. He had 9 assists, 2 steals, 16 points. Didn't shoot well from 3, but other than that, I was pretty happy with everything I got from him.
That shot at the end of the half, too, did you see that?
Yeah.
He just, like, floated it up. Well, it was beautiful.
It hit every single part of the rim and went in at halftime buzzer. What I was seeing from Keyonte this game, before last time we recorded, we were talking about like who's going to be the point guard. Collier's been hurt, so he hasn't been playing. But last year, Collier was the starting point guard. He kind of won that job.
Yeah.
But now that I've been seeing Keyonte George, he looks different in his confidence as opposed to last year, because it seems like he wants the ball. He wants to be a focal point of the offense and get everyone going, instead of kind of taking a little bit of some shots we don't love, or turn the ball over and being a little less confident. It seems like I just feel a difference in the way his confidence is these first two games.
Yeah. I've been really impressed with his ability to like drive to the basket. I mean, we always knew he had that ability, but it seemed like the consistency there wasn't. But like he'll finish, you know, like high off the glass. He'll get to the rim.
Go to the free throw line.
Yeah, I hope that creates more free throws this year, like kind of like Shea does, similar type player, hopefully.
Also got a good step back. I don't really know if you've seen it. He's done a couple step backs. Yeah. He's got a spin fade away.
And those are going to be higher percentage shots, like all of those, than the one he was taking last year. So I'm hoping that his percentages get up this year a little bit. So
I love it. Anybody else stick out to you in the game?
Well, I know he's your boy, Bryce Sensabaugh.
Oh, yeah, off the bench. His shot is so pure.
I thought he was very efficient. 7-for-13 is pretty good for 20 points. Might be
sneaky sixth man of the year.
Yeah, might be sneaky sixth man of the year this year. Looking like it so far. So,
or most improved player, give him both.
Yeah, if we're actually going to start Svi, which makes no sense to me, but you know. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I love what I'm getting from Bryce Sensabaugh. I think that's just expected. I was high on him. I think we're just going to see that from him. He's just a great offense player, just needs to get better on defense.
Yeah. Our boy Ace didn't have a great debut like we saw from some other rookies like VJ Edgecombe, but he was been dealing with some sickness, I guess is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think he had the flu.
There's minute restrictions, so he didn't really play a ton in really either of these games. So hopefully we'll see him have a better debut coming soon. So,
right. And then I guess just point out Lauri Markkanen had a great game as well. Yeah. 20 points, very efficient. I think we're going to get a better version of Lauri Markkanen this year than last year, especially first two games. And then another thing we're looking at is Taylor Hendricks and Cody Williams. I know you're a Cody Williams guy.
You believe in him
a little bit more than I do.
Yeah.
I believe in Taylor Hendricks. I'm probably a little bit higher on him.
That's fair.
But I'd say Taylor Hendricks showed out a little bit more this game.
Stealing a block's not bad.
Stealing a block. He hit a couple threes. And I also like him rolling to the basket. He gets some dunks here and there. So
there was one shot. I don't think he ended up blocking it, but Kawhi tried to do his like classic fadeaway to the right side, and Hendricks was there right in his face. Just beautiful contest, great defense, missed the shot. That's not going to show up on a stat sheet, but that's a great play.
Yeah, that's what we want from Hendricks.
Totally.
Cody Williams, he only played 2 minutes. We cut him some slack, but
yeah,
that's a battle I'm seeing a little bit throughout the season, see how those guys do.
Totally. I think from your point on Lowry, Lowry's just so consistently good that he just flies under the radar.
Right. We're like, we should give him his flowers.
We're like, oh man, he only scored 20 points this game. But it's like, that's pretty crazy that he could do that at a high level.
He gets 20 and it's like, yeah, we expect that.
Yeah. but going to the Kings game, I thought this was just a masterclass by Lowry. Like,
oh yeah.
In my eyes, he was just like scoring at will. Like he was getting to his spots. He had this really nice putback dunk. I don't know if you saw that highlight. But
yeah, I did.
Just like scooped it and slammed it right in. I thought he just played.
I also think Keyonte is trying to get him the ball more.
Yeah.
Because I think in the past, they haven't really been as good getting Lauri the ball as much as they need to. I'd argue at the end of the game, we should have got Lauri the ball. But anyways, it's good to see them finding him.
Yeah, I thought he was doing well moving off the ball too. Like, on one of those last plays of the game, if you watched him in the corner, he was just like circling, like just waiting for the pass to come. Like he's cutting and then cutting back out, cutting back out. And it was like, man, he's going to get himself a lot of open looks this year. If he just keeps moving, like kind of like Steph, I guess, but maybe a little slower.
Yeah. But I mean, the guys guarding him are probably slower than the guys guarding Steph.
Yeah. Anybody else stick out to you from the Kings game?
Yeah, I mean, of course, Lori's number one. Yeah. I also liked Keyonte George again.
Totally.
He had 18 and 10. Probably. Still didn't shoot well from three, but I still like what I'm getting from him. Again, we already kind of talked about that from last game. And then I actually really liked Walter Clayton.
Yeah, I was going to mention him.
He only scored 10 points, so a little bit quieter, but he was just good at kind of letting the, kind of just trying to fit in where he's, where he fits.
Totally.
He got a couple like transition layups and just kind of played well with the team. Seemed like he belonged out there. The only problem is they were going at him on defense.
Yeah, a little
Malik
bit.
Monk was kind of cooking him.
A little bit.
So the defense I'm a little worried about for Walter Clayton, but he seemed like he fit in other than that. You know, he was definitely the one getting picked on at the end of the game by all the Kings players.
I was going to say, I thought it was interesting that he wasn't at the end of the game, a rookie in his second game in the NBA, that he was trusted in those final minutes of the game. I think it'll be interesting. I think eventually he's going to get a triple-double for the Jazz.
Really?
I mean, they were talking in the broadcast about how great of a rebounder he is. He had 5, I believe, in this game.
Yeah, he did.
And I think in the Clippers game, he had like similar numbers. Let me see. Yeah, 6 rebounds in that game. So he's just a great rebounder. We know he's a good passer.
He gets his own rebound a lot of the time sometimes.
He's a good scorer. So I also thought, I mean, I'm just really high on Walker Kessler in general. I probably talked about it too much, but I love that he had 3 steals. He didn't have any blocks this game, but
yeah,
the fact that he's like playing the passing lane, if he averages a steal and a half this year or even a steal a game, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. If Wemby doesn't average 7
we'll
blocks
see. We'll
a game.
We'll see. Wemby's probably going to have that.
But I thought he played really well, so.
Yeah, and another good Bryce Sensabaugh game. Just chuck that in there as well.
Yeah.
But
man, this is going to be a tough one to pick.
We were 1 Walker Kessler rebound away from winning this game, right? And that's really what it came down to. I think we stuck in there. We got to see Laurie do his thing. So even though he lost, is still pretty good.
Yeah. I thought at the end of the game he was rebounding. Like that one play at the drive at the end of the game, we kept the play alive with like 3 offensive rebounds. He was playing a lot, but we just weren't hitting our shots. So unfortunate loss. Yeah. But
like what we're seeing, I guess that takes us to our player of the week. I don't know if you want to guess or.
That's a tough one. If
I
know
like there's
you,
a couple guys.
Yeah. If I know you, I'm guessing it'd be Bryce. But I also think you could make a case for Lowry. It'd probably be my guess.
It's neither of those. I'm actually going to go with Keyonte George.
Oh, okay.
Just, I was so impressed with what I saw from him confidence-wise. He seems like a much better player going into this season. I know he didn't shoot well these last couple games, but you didn't really notice because he's passing the ball and he's really impacting the game, even though he's missing a couple shots here and there. I'm going to say I'm jumping on the Keyonte bandwagon right now so you don't you don't say that I jumped on too late, you know?
Because
I think he's going to have a good year. But
it was getting kind of lonely on the bandwagon here. So
I know. I didn't know if you were quite there. But congratulations. Yeah, Keyonte George is our player of the week.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, and his shooting numbers, I thought he took good shots for the most part. There was a couple of questionable ones, but for the most part, I think he's taking open looks. Eventually, those will start falling, hopefully, but I like that. It's a good pick this week. We got 3 games coming up this next week, though. So we'll give our predictions. First, we start on Monday versus the Suns. What are you feeling with this game?
So I'm pretty impressed with this past week, personally. I think the Jazz are looking good, so you might see that reflect in some of my predictions for these next 3 games. And so I think we're going to keep our home win streak in the Delta Center. I think we're going to win by 12 against the Suns.
Ooh.
So
okay.
Even a little bit of a wide margin, I think we're going to take care of business.
Yeah.
Suns don't have KD anymore. I think we can take care of them.
Yeah. I like that. I think we're going to predict a lot more wins this year. I don't think we're intentionally losing this year, so it'll be more fun to predict this year, I think. So I think Jazz also get a win. I'm going to say win by 6. I'm going to keep a little more conservative with my number, but I don't think the Suns roster is super great. I think they got some exciting pieces, but I think Jazz could win this one by a few, so.
kind of funny, the Suns' first two games were against Sacramento and LA Clippers.
Oh, really?
But they beat the Kings, lost to the Clippers.
Oh, interesting.
So who knows? We're probably pretty similar.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay, our second game, we stay at home against the Portland Trailblazers. Who you got for that one?
So for this one, I got the Jazz losing this one. I think the Blazers have a lot going for them. I know we played them just recently in our preseason game. I know that they also just have like a big thing we'll talk about in a second with their coach. They now have an interim coach, but I think they got a good roster. I like Denny Advia a lot. He could cook us a little bit. So I'm going to say Jazz lose by three.
Close game, though.
Close game.
I'm going to keep the win streak going.
Okay.
I'm going to say still pretty close. Jazz win by four.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I think the Trailblazers are going to be better this year.
Yeah.
I know that Dame's hurt for the whole year, but they still have Tamani Kamara. They've got Denny Abdia. They've got Klingon. They're going to be a good defensive team. And so I think they're going to be a play-in team.
Yeah.
In the West, even the stacked West.
But it looks like they're also 1-1. They beat the Warriors yesterday, lost to the Timberwolves on Wednesday. So,
kind of just lost to Ant.
Those are two pretty good teams, yeah. So
basically, Anthony Edwards just beat them.
Yeah, pretty much. You know. So those are some pretty good teams to go 1-1 are in the first two, so it could be a good game.
Be interesting.
Our last game of the week, next Friday,
we play in-season tournament game.
At the Suns. Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Forgot we were in their group. So we play at the Suns. Do you think it's going to be the same result, different this time?
I think it's going to be a little bit tougher than at home.
Yeah, I do.
But I think
agree.
We're still going to win. I got Jazz by six.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm predicting a four-game win streak or a three-game win streak this upcoming week.
Oh, man. I probably should have done that too. I'm saying Jazz lose by one. I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch. I didn't even realize in-season tournament game, but I just think Jazz have so much energy right now. I have a hard time seeing any team just blowing us out. I'm sure it'll happen at some point, but we're playing high right now. So, yeah, Jazz lose by one.
So I guess I'm predicting 3-0. You're predicting 1-2. Is that right?
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting week.
Yes,
I hope,
it will.
I hope we go 3-0.
I hope you're right, too. Yeah, I hope you're right. Well, we got some Jazz news, finally. Ryan Smith announced there's going to be a new Jazz practice facility, compound, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
What is that mall? Southtown Mall? Is that the one?
Yeah, it is. Where the hockey facility is.
So they're going to build the Jazz practice facility right next to the hockey one and make it like a whole sports complex where the two teams can have their facilities, which I think is cool. They've been at the Zions Bank facility since 2016-17, roughly, right off the freeway in Salt Lake. Now moving to Sandy. So I think that'll be good. That'd be pretty cool.
I think it'll bring a cool Utah sports culture.
Totally.
Like, seeing the hockey and basketball guys work out together, or at least on the same facility. I don't know how close they'll be. I think it'll bring some energy into the both teams. And then I'm sure you can learn a lot from the other sport.
Yeah.
And like how they prepare and things like that.
Yeah, that's totally true. I think it'll be really awesome. I also hope that it will bring, like, you know, when free agents are looking at what team they want to play and you visit Salt Lake, you see that there's this brand new fancy practice facility. Like,
yeah,
I hope that brings more like willingness to come and play when you see that you have an owner who cares about his players and wants the best. So that'd be cool.
And then we got our training camp finished, right? Our preseason. Yeah. So we waived our boy Mo Bamba.
No.
We were at that preseason game. We were there. Mo Bamba won us that game, man.
Dude, literally.
He hit
some
free throws, got a block or two. It's crazy. We didn't expect him to stay on the team because we already had our full roster, but just officially got waived.
I just think watching him in that game, I know it's just preseason game and he's, you know, he probably didn't have a chance making the roster anyways, but he has so much potential. Like, he's so long, great shot blocker. He can get up there. I think he had like an alley-oop that he finished. But the guy just has no control over his body. I feel like he just kind of flails a lot. It kind of makes it hard for you to keep him on the floor for any period of time. So hopefully he finds a new spot. I doubt it, though.
Maybe he could play in China. I feel like he'd be a beast back there.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, go beat Jimmy over there.
Thank you for your services, Mo Bamba.
Yes, sir. Second tour around Utah.
Yeah, yeah.
In 6 months.
Well, we've also got NBA Cup Court.
Yeah.
Because that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
Is it new this year?
It looks pretty much the same to me. I mean, it's like the purple mountain like we had last year. You know, I don't know. I feel like...
Honestly, I can't really tell a difference.
No, I can't really either. It feels...
I like it. I'm glad. I don't think it needs to be too crazy.
Yeah. I'm still not a fan of like the colored courts. I know we've talked about this like last year, but I think this one looks pretty clean. It's not too dark.
It's not going to like fry your eyes when you're watching on TV.
No, it's pretty pleasant to look at, yeah.
Yeah, I also like how it has like the mountain across the whole court. Mm-hmm. Kind of like our jerseys, how they have that little like clip art mountain.
Yeah,
I think I like that logo personally.
But. That's pretty dope. Well, a big piece of NBA news, one that I'm guessing we won't hear the end of for a while. The FBI has arrested Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier from the Heat, and former assistant coach Damon Jones, also played for the Cavs, as part of a illegal sports betting rigged poker game, something to do with the mafia, all this stuff.
Kind of insane.
Pretty crazy stuff. What was your reaction when you heard about all that?
I don't even know, to be honest. I'm just like kind of confused.
Yeah.
I hope that Chauncey Billups can get back, because I actually kind of liked him as a coach. But if he really did like commit this big crime, then I guess he needs to do his time. But
yeah,
it's kind of sad for the Trailblazers. That's kind of the main thing I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think the scary thing is like when you talk about that they were involved with the mafia. It's like that's not. And they're arrested by the FBI. This isn't like local police.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think this is going to turn into something pretty big. It makes me wonder if they'll uncover other players who are involved. I mean, there's rumor. I keep seeing all these clips where it looks like Chauncey Billups was taking out his best players at the end of the game, or Terry Rozier like having weird, suspicious turnovers at the end of games. But you never know like if they were throwing games or if it was just a bad, wrong place, wrong time. So hopefully for their sake that it was just wrong place, wrong time, but they should get consequences if they were throwing games for sure.
Yeah, I guess it'd be interesting to see how it affects the NBA.
Yeah.
If these guys really made that big of an impact or if the teams are just all right.
Yeah.
Maybe that it'll be nice when we play the Trailblazers week, because they won't have their coach, so maybe it'll be easier to beat them.
That's true. Yeah, their interim's Thiago Splitter. Former Spurs.
Oh, yeah. Champion?
Yeah, NBA champion. Comes from the Pop coaching tree with like Will Hardy, so it'll be interesting.
Hopefully that'll give us a little bit of an edge.
Yeah.
And then our boy Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, even bigger piece of NBA news.
Yeah, this
here.
Is the... Honestly, forget everything this else we headlines. Talked about this episode. This is the meat.
Bald Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert's hair is gone.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
It makes me wonder if it was just like going and he just decided... throwing the towel, or if he was just trying to do something different, but
I don't know.
It's kind of interesting. He looks kind of pretty different with it. I don't know.
You know, I think I've heard people say like Nick Batum's just rubbing off on him from playing over in France. So
yeah,
yeah. Honestly, I don't think it looks that bad.
No,
he's still got his beard, right?
He pulls it off. Yeah.
So he still got his beard. It looks nice. So.
Yeah,
just kind of funny to see him bald.
I know.
Do you think his haircut will help him have a better chance at Defensive Player of the Year this year?
I don't know. I mean, I was checking the box score the first couple of games, and he hasn't started super hot, but it's only two games.
Yeah, maybe bald Gobert is not.
Last night I checked in the fourth quarter, and he had like 0 blocks and like 4 points, and I was like, oh. I guess the hair gave him power. It's like Mike or something. Man.
Oh, that's funny. He's like Samson.
Well, speaking of MVPs, I mean, Rudy Gobert, going to do our NBA award predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. We'll be Rudy Gobert likely, but... so every year we've been predicting our award predictions. Usually we do it before the season starts. We just had, you know, we're able to... We only have 2-game sample size to go from, but it's still pretty early in the season to predict, so...
Trying to remember, have we had... like any like good predictions? Because I know beginning of the year, you don't really know what's going to happen, right? Yeah. And usually we're a little bit off, but I think we've had some predictions like really hit.
Yeah, I think with MVP we've been pretty close, but that one's been easy.
If I remember right, I think I predicted Shea last year, so I'm one for one.
I want to say last year you predicted Shea with Jokic as your dark horse, and I did the opposite, which was kind of
right. And it's pretty like close for both pretty of good us. Prediction for both of us, to be honest.
Yeah. So, but some of them, I remember last year. I think my rookie of the year was Rob Dillingham, and so I think we've been pretty off with some of them.
Here, I've actually got them pulled up. If you want to, or I'll pull up my own, I guess. Yeah, I had Shea as my MVP. I think we both had Wemby as our defense player of the year, which probably would have happened had he not got hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had Castle as my rookie of the year.
Just saying. Let's go.
Oh, this was probably the worst one. I think we both had Nick Nurse as our coach of the year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For the Sixers. So
at the time, that seemed like a pretty good prediction, but the Paul George thing just didn't really.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
I had Malik Monk, six man, and Shaden Sharp was my MIP. Low-key, he wouldn't be a bad pick this year as well. He's kind of always the guy you think might make a jump.
Yeah, that's not a terrible pick.
So, not bad.
Well, for this year's, I guess we'll just start at the top. MVP.
Big one.
Yeah, what are you feeling like for MVP?
Okay, last year I predicted this right, so you got to take my words with some value,
that's
right?
That's fair. You got the credentials.
I'm one for one.
Put that on your resume.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm predicting this year there's a guy on a team in the NBA that's going to have a lot on his shoulders.
Ooh, we might be talking about the same guy.
And I think his stats are going to show, and I think he's going to carry his team to a high position in the playoffs.
Ooh.
That man is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, we weren't talking about the same guy. I like that.
I think Giannis is going to break out. He's won MVP a couple years ago. I think the voter fatigue's worn off.
That's true.
And so I think he'll get in, he'll play probably as good as he did last year, but I think the Bucks are actually going to be a top four seed.
Yeah.
And I think just him being able to carry them to a top four seed and really have it all on his shoulders, no Dame, I think will be enough for him to get MVP.
So far, I'm liking the fit with Miles Turner, too. It seems like it spreads the floor a little bit.
Yeah.
Defensively, it helps him out a lot. So
they've got shooters around him as well. So I think they'll be in good shape, and I think he's going to win MVP.
Yeah. Who's your dark horse?
Let me hear your main one first, then we'll go dark horse.
Well, I have kind of similar logic this year. I think his best teammate is not going to play a ton this year. Might see him in little stretches. But I think so far, Luka Doncic.
Ooh.
I think he scored 48 in his first game, scored 49 last night. Almost triple doubles in both of those games. So I'm kind of cheating with two games of sample size. But I think he's going to be special this year. I mean, he's always special. He looks like he's more in shape. Like he doesn't look like the Luka that the Mavs traded last year because he was out of shape.
You're thinking thin Luka's MVP Luka.
I think so. And I think, I really think LeBron's going to be out 4 weeks right now. I think it's just going to be a continuing. LeBron's going to play 2 weeks at a time, I think, just because he's 40, what is it, 41, 42. like you just can't expect him to play all 82 games. And I think Luka's just, that's his team. He's in charge of the offense. It's gonna
I love it. I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah.
For my dark horse, I kind of chose, my dark horses are mostly guys that I don't think is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see people talking about them as much. They're more just like guys I think can win it that we're not talking about. So it's like kind of curveballs in a way.
Fair enough.
But my dark horse for MVP is Anthony Edwards.
Ooh.
I don't think anybody's talking about him for MVP. I think he's going to have a lot of responsibility on the Timberwolves, and you've already seen what he did against the Trailblazers the other night. He's going to will them to a lot of wins.
Yeah.
And so I think if the Timberwolves do well, I think Anthony Edwards should be in that MVP conversation this year.
I like that. I like that a lot. I kind of use similar logic. I think Wemby.
Yeah. I love that, actually.
Dude, I watched the highlights from his first two games, and he's looking like he looks stronger to me, like similar to Luka. His body kind of transformed a little bit. He's still pretty thin. I think my biggest question is his health, obviously, but like he's like pulling up on shots, and I don't know how you stop that. He very well could average 4 or 5 blocks a game like he was last year until he got injured.
He could easily average 30.
So,
this year.
And I think in one of his first games he had 42, 44 or something like that.
Yeah.
So he could be really special. I think he could win it given that he plays enough games, which is the question. Mm-hmm. So
I actually love that. And then that kind of leads pretty well into defensive player of the year. Yeah. I've got Wemby for that.
That's what I got.
I don't want to think too hard.
No, yeah.
He was going to win it last year until he got hurt. So I think as long as he's healthy, every like real NBA fan knows like it's probably going to be Wemby.
Yeah. I think he's going to win defensive player of the year as long as he, like, he could win it for the next decade probably. And I genuinely mean that. I mean,
I think voter fatigue will hit him eventually, but
I
could see him winning three or four in a row.
That's true. I just honestly think if he's averaging four or five blocks a game, I don't know how voter fatigue's going to, like, that feels like voter fatigue proof to me. Like,
you think so?
I don't know. Maybe. I think so.
But I guess, who do you have for your dark horse for that? Because we know Wemby.
Yeah. I could see this if Wemby has health issues. I could see this being the year where a guard wins. Seems like every couple of years happens. I think Lu Dort could be in the conversation.
Really? Okay.
I think he's a really, really great perimeter defender. Probably the best in the league right now, in my opinion. So I could see him being in the conversation.
For my dark horse, I picked a guy that was in the running last year, Amen Thompson.
Okay.
Because, you know, the Rockets' defense is going to be top five in the NBA, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
And so if it's not Wemby, I could see Amen.
I like that pick. Kind of similar idea. Smaller perimeter guy. I like that. Well, that takes us to Rookie of the Year. Who do you got for Rookie of the Year?
I feel like I kind of cheated on this one because this guy's already been lighting it up.
Yeah, that's probably the same guy.
Really? I've got VJ Edgecombe.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to be really good for that team. Embiid might not be there as much this year. Maxey is going to need some help. So I think VJ, I think he'll do it as long as he stays healthy too.
Yeah. What in the world is Joel Embiid doing? That guy, like, how are you not healthy the first game of the season when you've had 5 months of an off season?
I'm predicting, just based off that one game, maybe give him a month to see if it holds up. I think VJ Edgecombe could have a season pretty similar to Donovan Mitchell.
Totally.
In his rookie season where he's just like already low-key an all-star.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat. He scored the most in his debut since 1980-something.
Yeah, since Wilt.
Was it Wilt? Yeah. Like, it's insane. They just had a crazy first game. Him and Maxey are going to be really nice together. So I think that's going to be really nice. Who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is Jeremiah Fears.
Oh, he's had a nice start too.
He had a good start as well.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to put up stats, and Pelicans are going to need him. He might end up being the starting point guard by the end of the year.
I like that.
So give it to him.
All right. Put my Jazz cap on for a second. Ace Bailey.
Oh, let's go.
I think dark horse for the... I just think he's looking... I mean, in his preseason, he had some really great games. I don't think these first two games indicate who he is because of the sickness. We're going to see some really special games from Ace Bailey this year, and I think he could be in the race there at the end of the season.
And that's not any Jazz bias, I think.
I think people would agree with that for the most part.
I think he's got to be up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that takes us to Clutch Player of the Year. This is a tough one to predict, I feel like, because you're kind of predicting like which teams are going to be in close games. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who are you feeling?
I've got our boy Steph Curry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe he did win it before, maybe. I want to say he won it the first year it was around.
Yeah.
But yeah, Steph Curry, man. If there's one player in the NBA that I want shooting the last shot in a game, it's Steph Curry every time. Give me some Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Oh man, so I've got Kevin Durant.
Oh.
I really love the Rockets roster, except that they don't have a point guard, and I think that's going to give them a lot of issues this year. It gave them issues in their first game.
Shooting, too. They're going to miss some shooting.
Totally. They had that like first game they started, almost everybody in starting lineup was over 6'10", except for Amen, who's 6'9". And I just don't think that that's like a sustainable starting lineup. You need Fred VanVleet to come back, or somebody, you need to go get somebody who can be your starting guy, maybe Reed Shepard. But I think that they're good enough where they'll be in most games, but it's going to be close. And I think Durant's just that type of guy that can hit clutch shots. So
I like that. I like that. And he's going to be needed for sure.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the Rockets were missing last year.
Yeah, totally.
For my dark horse, I've got Tyrese Maxey.
Ooh, okay.
I don't think anyone will kind of mention him, but I think he's the best player on. Is if Embiid's not going to be the guy, right? Maxey's going to be the guy for the Sixers. And I think he can do it. So,
mine, I'm saying this is just a gut feeling one. I don't really know. Trae Young.
Ooh.
I think Trae Young's a great scorer.
I like that.
I think his roster improved a lot this year, so I think they're going to be in more games than they were last year. And I could just see him coming up clutch in some really big games this year. So,
I like that.
Yeah. Most improved player. This is also a tough one.
This is always the hardest one.
I think so. I'll give mine first. Desmond Bane.
Ooh, okay.
I think first couple of games in the Magic, he looked really nice. Hit the pick and roll with Paolo and Franz seems like it's working really well. Mm-hmm. So I could see him jumping up into all-star conversations this year.
If he has most improved, he'd be like the second best player on the Magic.
Yeah, I think
so. After Paolo.
Yeah, Franz is pretty good. It'd be hard to...
But right, because I mean, like, if he has MIP, I feel like he'd have to jump. I don't know.
I think Paolo's in the conversation for All-Star, but I think Franz and Desmond Bane are kind of fringe, could be fringe All-Stars if they improve this year. So, yeah.
I feel like if the Magic are just top of the East, you got to put one of those guys in there with Paolo. Yeah.
Which is possible with how they did last year in the East.
Right.
Celtics are down a couple...
Jalen Suggs is back. He was hurt a lot last year.
Yeah, totally. Well, who do you have for most improved player?
I've got Zion.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't know.
He's thinned out, too.
He's thin now. He looked pretty darn good. He dunked on Wemby already.
Yeah.
And the Pelicans are probably more motivated to win than they have ever been.
He had five steals in their first game, too. He was playing really well defensively.
So I don't know if that counts, because I know Zion's been good in the past.
Been an all-star before.
He's already been an all-star, but... I mean, last year and the year before, we just haven't really seen much from Zion.
That's true.
So I think we're just going to get an actual Zion year.
Yeah.
Hopefully he plays 50, 60 games.
Yeah.
And I think he could win most improved just based on him playing games.
Yeah. This feels like kind of a contract year for him too. Maybe there's no way he doesn't get paid in his next spot, but I feel like he's kind of on the fringe of Pelicans giving up on him, you know.
Yeah, they were thinking about trading him for real.
Yeah, so he's really got to lock in. So I like that pick. That's a good one. My dark horse, Reed Sheppard.
Ooh,
I like Reed Sheppard a lot. I think he could step.
He's got a lot on his plate right now.
He does have a lot on his plate, but I thought he came into the NBA with a lot of skills. I don't know why he didn't play for them last year, because I think he could have been a really nice piece.
That would have been because he's missing experience.
Yeah.
He needs experience.
So I don't know why they just decided now is the time, but I think just based off that, where he didn't have opportunities in the NBA last year, I think he looks really good so far. I think he's a dark horse for most improved player.
I'd love to see that. I feel like it can be hard on him.
Yeah.
But if he's able to do it, I think the Rockets are a legit contender.
Totally.
My dark horse is Michael Porter Jr.
Ooh,
just because he's going to be on the crappy Nets team and shooting lots of shots. So
I like that.
He could be an all-star.
That's a good pick. Okay. Coach of the year.
This was a rough one too. For us last year.
Yeah, it was. Nick Nurse.
Yeah, not Nick Nurse again. Oh, please don't pick him.
Well, mine's Nick. No, I'm just kidding. It's not Nick Nurse. Or Chauncey Billups.
Oh, I was thinking that. From jail.
Mine, I'll keep my Jazz hat on, or former Jazz hat on. I think Quinn Snyder.
Ooh, interesting.
Could be his year. I like his roster a lot. They added Porzingis. They got Alexander Walker, Luke Kennard, I believe. Maybe he was added into last year, but I like their roster a lot. I think, and we know Quinn Snyder's a good coach.
Porzingis, you already said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he's a great coach. I think he could make him into a good playoff team this year, so.
I like that a lot. I'm always wondering about the Hawks, because you always think they're going to be pretty good, and then they're kind of falling that 8 to 10 range.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is finally the year where they break through.
Reese Shea
looks great last year. Yeah. So I don't know. I think if you're right, if they're going to break through, this is the year.
Absolutely.
For my coach of the year, I've got Mike Brown.
Oh, he's my dark horse.
Okay, he's your dark horse. I just think the Knicks are going to be good, and they're going to probably roll through the East, kind of similar to how the Thunder or Celtics have rolled through the East or West in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They're going to They're primed to be in the NBA Finals this year just because of how weak the East is.
So I don't think he'll win Coach of the Year because of anything he does, just because he was handed a really nice roster.
Yep. Yeah.
And a really good situation. And I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a bad coach.
I probably would have had Tom Thibodeau if he hadn't got fired as in just whoever's the Knicks coach, honestly.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I like that. So that's my dark horse as well.
My dark horse is Jamal Mosley. He's the Magic coach.
Oh, okay.
Because I think the Magic...
I didn't think about
that. You know, you even said Desmond Bane thing. Like, the Magic could be a lot better this year than people think. And totally. So I think Jamal Mosley could get an award for that.
Yeah, it's a sneaky addition. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think we both had the hardest time with Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah.
We were sitting here like doing them, like we weren't telling each other, but like...
Like who's actually coming off the bench or who's starting?
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's tough. And starting lineups move around so much in today's NBA. Like the Jazz probably had like a dozen starting lineups last year, maybe even more. I don't know.
I mean, it's funny. You were like, well, I guess I might just pick Naz Reid again.
Yeah, right? I mean, go with the safe pick. I don't know.
Yeah.
This one... This guy could be a starter this year. I don't know. I got Alex Caruso.
Okay.
I think he's
coming off the bench, but
yeah.
Maybe not.
I just like him a lot. I think he's such a good piece for them. Great defender. Doesn't make ton of mistakes, so I don't know. I could just see it. That feels like a safe pick to me. So
yeah, I actually like that better than mine, but I'm just stick with what I got.
Who you got?
I've got Grady Dick.
Okay. I don't hate it.
I don't think he's going to start, so at least I know he's a bench player.
Yeah.
And he's been like a spark off the bench for them, so I think he could be in the conversation.
Okay. I like that.
It's hard to see the Raptors do good, but if they are like decent, I think he might get it.
Yeah. Yeah, he wouldn't definitely start over Brandon Ingram.
RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly.
Jamal Shedd's looking really good over there.
So he's definitely off the bench. That's kind of part of my thinking.
Yeah, that's a tough one. My other one, this one's kind of a shot in the dark, not going to lie, because he may not even play at all this year. Lonzo Ball, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
He did play this last game or two. He was pretty good.
So I don't think, I mean, with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, he's obviously coming off the bench, unless he's small forward, but I doubt it. We already know he's a great shooter, great passer. This could be the Lonzo Ball renaissance a little bit this year. Yeah. We'll see. I could see
if he can hit shots. I think he is already able to do most things.
Totally. No.
It's interesting. Your six man guys are more like more than just scorers, which I kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dark horse is Nickeil Alexander-Walker.
Oh, that's a guy. I didn't think about that.
I don't know if it's gonna really be that big a jump for him, but he's definitely coming off the bench because of Daniels and Trae Young.
Was he receiving votes the last 2 years? I'd be surprised if he...
Maybe, because he's been pretty solid on the T-Wolves. I know Naz Reid's usually the six-man guy for them, but now he's on the Hawks. I think he's in a pretty good situation for him.
Yeah,
totally. I think he could get six-man.
I like that. This year we added Finals MVP, which kind of comes with the presumption of what team's going to win it all as well, because you usually don't win that unless your team wins it. So.
I like it, because it's an award, right? It's an award we got to predict.
So who are you feeling Finals MVP?
You know, I think Thunder, as good as they are, it'd be too boring to pick them to repeat.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And I think I like the trend that we get a new champion every year.
It's hard to repeat in today's NBA.
Yeah, it is. Oh. Yeah, it is. I'm going to pick Nikola Jokic.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's been a while since the Nuggets have really gotten far in the playoffs, and I think their roster looks a lot better now that they've got Cam Johnson, and Bruce Brown, Tim Hardaway, and they've got Valanciunas.
Yeah.
I just think their roster's better than last year, and I think they're going to win it all. Jokic gets that MVP.
I like it. Well, I'm staying in the Slavic countries, Luka Doncic, I think. Ooh. I know I had him for my MVP, but I don't know. Something about me tells me Luka's primed for a run this year. I think I like the addition of DeAndre Ayton. I don't think that he's like a world beater, but I think he's a better center than no center like they had last year. And so,
as much as that seems like a jab, I guess that's a compliment.
Yeah. I also they added Jake LaRavia, which I thought's been nice.
Marcus Smart,
yeah, is a really great piece. And I think by come playoff time, LeBron will be ready to go. And I could see him going on a run. That's just my bold prediction there. So
I'm concerned about the Lakers roster.
I can
personally. I think Luka's gonna still be Luka, and he's gonna be really good.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty concerned about the others.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I could see it. I could see. I think they've got a chance. But we've got to see more from Ayton.
Yeah.
We've got to see more from Smart and that supporting cast.
Yeah, I could just see this being a year like we had. What was that? 2 years ago when the Mavs were in the finals, where it just kind of felt like. I mean, he had Kyrie, but it kind of felt like Luka was just dragging all these like Derek Lively's and Daniel Gafford's with him, and like they turned into good pieces because he was making them good. But I don't know. I feel like this roster's got the same been burned before the Lakers. So
I like it. For my dark horse Finals MVP, I've got Jalen Brunson.
Ooh, I got the same one.
Really? Because he's not the obvious pick.
Yeah.
But the Knicks are, I think the Knicks have a really good chance of getting to NBA Finals. They're my favorite in the East.
Yeah.
And Jalen Brunson's their guy. Yeah. So there you go.
It's like what you said earlier there. The East is wide open. The Knicks seem to be like the only team in the East that didn't get worse, like the top teams that didn't get worse this offseason.
And the Cavs, right? Cavs, a lot of people say Knicks or Cavs.
Yeah. But Cavs is still yet to show that they can get out of the second round. So it's like.
Yep.
I don't know. I still have questions about the Cavs, so I like the Knicks to win it all. And if they win it all, it would be crazy if anybody else but him won it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. Well, takes us to local sports. The Utah Mammoth are no longer borrowing the Jazz Bear. He's back to part-time.
That was funny, to be honest.
Yeah, I kind of thought they were going to keep him.
What do you think of the name Tusky?
Okay, that was the only thing I didn't like. I kind of thought this was a little cheesy, to be honest, but...
I mean, it's usually for kids to have a mascot.
That's
right?
True. I don't hate it, though. I thought it was a little cheesy, the name, but I think he looks really cool.
Yeah, whoever designed that costume did a great job.
They fired the yellow jersey person, whoever SCG Media's marketing person was, and they got a new person, apparently, because I think he looked pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I was also a big fan of the play that we've been seeing
from
the Mammoth.
Yeah.
I was looking at, I get these notifications about the Mammoth from ESPN. There's always these articles, right? So I got a notification of the power rankings. Mm-hmm. And guess how high the Mammoth are in the power rankings? There's 32 teams.
Oh, they got to be top 10, top 5, right?
They're number 9.
Okay.
But last week, they were number 24.
Ooh.
So they jumped up 15 spots in the power rankings, number 9 right now. Just because we've been on a hot streak.
Let's go. And as of right now, in our division, we're 3rd in the division.
Okay.
Which makes us not a wild card team, that makes us a playoff team.
And I've heard a lot of people are very high on Nick Schmaltz right now.
Yeah.
He's been scoring a lot.
Dude, we have some dogs. I was watching the game the other day. I'm trying to remember who we were playing. I think it was the St. Louis Blues, maybe. I can't remember. But Logan Cooley had a hat trick in the first period. We were up 4-0 going into the first period.
Didn't we score 7 goals that game?
I think, yeah. And Nick Schmaltz had the first one. Yeah, it was like 7-4 was the final score, but I was like, dang, this team could be really good this year.
Because I feel like last year our problem was scoring. Like, we couldn't score. And I think our goal, Veggie's like, he's getting all these stops. Like, we're stopping the other team from scoring pretty well.
Yeah.
We just couldn't score ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Our boy Spicy Tuna had a goal the other day. I don't know if
really?
You saw that.
Really? Let's go?
It was one of those where, like, the goalie, like, left the net to go get the puck behind, and he didn't see... Spicy Tuna just stole it and scooped it around. It was so nice, dude. Oh, man.
Oh, let's go.
I'm loving it. We're 6-2 right now.
Looking good.
I've been hearing some people talking about how we might be a playoff team this year, so it's kind of exciting.
Hey, we knew that from the beginning. Once we got draft, we got our free agents, everybody was thinking we're going to be better.
Dude, year one in the NHL, we were fighting for a wild card when the Coyotes were such a horrible franchise. So
yeah, poverty.
Yeah, we'll take it. I think we're on a 4-game win streak right now, 3-game.
Yeah.
4-3 or 4, something like that.
And then we got a big game, biggest game in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
I'll say it every year.
This one
BYU,
felt like
Utah.
It had some more juice to it, too, like both being ranked. It felt like this was kind of a like Big 12 championship play-in game a little bit because it had a lot of implications for the standings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of sad I didn't get to go this year because I'm not a student, but what was it like?
Yeah,
it was
amazing. Very loud in the Lavelle Edwards Stadium. I was surprised. I thought there'd be more Utah fans, but there was kind of just a few, mostly in the north end zone where they usually are.
Seating. Yeah,
there was a decent amount up there, but not as many throughout.
Yeah.
pretty loud. I would say this game, if I had to describe it in one word, I would say surgical.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Because I feel like we just had to have every play matter. Like, it felt like we were never able to, like, take a breath. Mm. It was the entire game we had to play well, and we couldn't take our foot off the gas at all. We had to be surgical in every play.
Totally.
That's what I would say. I don't know what you would say.
Well, I thought something that was cool is just, like, exposure. Like me and you were talking before, like, people's exposure to BYU with Big Noon being there, Dave Portnoy being there.
National broadcast.
Yeah, and also, not just for BYU, but, like, it kind of felt like a lot of people were learning about the Holy War. Like, I've been seeing all this talk online about, like, the Holy War is just, like, the rivalry that nobody knew about. Like, why didn't anybody know about it? It's crazy every year, you know? Like, every year Holy War week is just, like, just kind of brutal, to be honest. And it's like, and it's kind of cool to see the rest of the country be like, oh, shoot, something's going on in Utah over there.
Yep.
So I just thought it was so awesome. And it was great that the Cougs won.
I mean, I think all growing up as a kid, you go to school that day wearing red or blue.
Dude, totally.
Everybody's picking a side.
Even in Salt Lake where I grew up, I'm the only BYU fan. Like,
right. Like, the entire state of Utah picks a side. It's crazy how big it is.
Oh, it's so fun. I love it so much. And Bear Bachmeyer, he didn't throw super great. I didn't think but he didn't turn the ball over. And that run at the end of the game.
That was the play of the game.
That was just an excellent run. I mean, man. Not a lot of quarterbacks
do that. Making
like
three or four guys miss.
Yeah, and then dragging a guy before they started pushing him. He was already dragging him. He's just a monster. He'd be hard to take down. So, incredible game. Good win for the Cougs. I feel like we're in the driver's seat. It's in our hands at this point. So
we just need to take care of business today.
Yep.
We play in an hour against Iowa State.
Yeah.
Do you think we can win that one?
I think so. I think we're going to have to win two of the next three because we play Tech after that and Cincinnati after that, who are both teams that are also fighting with.
Right.
So we're going to have to, get a little chippy. We'll see what happens.
This is why I'm glad we've already played Arizona. We've already played West Virginia.
Yep.
We've already played Stanford because we're kind of preparing us for these next couple games.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun. I'm so excited. Well, thank you for joining us on today's episode. As we predicted our season, talked about first couple games. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've talked a lot about things heading into the season. You won't want to miss that. Find us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And we appreciate you taking your time to listen. We hope you have a great day.
Take care.